A lot of colleges have that one quirky supplemental that asks you to name something you do in your spare time, but can't exactly put on your resume. For me, the two activities that first come into the periphery of my mind are lifting and arguing with pro-lifers, which I do believe should constitute for a few hours of monthly community service. However, my arguments often fall on deaf ears. At least I can say I tried, right? But here are the claims that many of them have brought up time and time again as to why they are pro-life and why Planned Parenthood should be defunded. To say the least, they have definitely been misrepresented to fit the pro-life agenda and demonize Planned Parenthood. Number one, the amount of abortions Planned Parenthood provides has been steadily increasing over time. If you look at it in terms of proportions, per Planned Parenthood's annual report, the amount of abortions provided from 2013 to 2019 only increased by 1%. Last year, only around 350,000 abortions were done. Such procedures still dwarf the other services this healthcare resource provides, including breast exams and pap tests, 560,000, birth control services, 2.5 million prescriptions last year alone, and STI testing and treatment at 5 million procedures. If you think about it, Planned Parenthood is not the only provider of abortion services in this country. In my area alone, there are numerous women's health clinics such as Preterm Cleveland and the Dayton Medical Center that provide abortion in addition to other gynecological services. Like it or not, women will simply start going there. Moreover, Planned Parenthood supported efforts around sexual health and advocacy in numerous Latin American and African countries where resources for such activities are scarce. If you are hell-bent on preventing abortions, don't advocate to defund an organization that does so much more than that with its budget, not only for women, but for men as well. Instead, do the work and go through the legal system. As of now, abortion is a right guaranteed to women up to the second trimester at the very least, and up to the third trimester if a woman's life is in danger. You can knock yourself out and take your complaints all the way up to the Supreme Court, but for God's sake, play it fair, because the pro-choice movement sure as hell did. Number two, Planned Parenthood defends rapists, pimps, and sex traffickers because they increase business for abortions. Okay, so per my research, Planned Parenthood was indeed involved in two major sex trafficking scandals, one in 2011 and the other in 2018, with a small blip in 2015. The string of incidents in 2011 were reported to the FBI by the organization long before a problematic employee was exposed to the public in a heavily edited recording. Other clinicians and directors described a man, sometimes accompanied by a woman, claiming to be a pimp and showing up at Planned Parenthood locations unannounced, and then proceeding to ask for abortion services for girls in a sex trafficking ring that he claimed to be running. It was eventually found that the effort was a hoax perpetrated by Live Action, an anti-abortion organization. In 2018, more allegations, such as those of an Ohio girl named Denise Fairbanks, who had been raped by her father and taken to Planned Parenthood as a young teen to get an abortion, resurfaced. Shortly after, Trump removed the $60 million in annual Title X funding the organization had previously been entitled to. While they never actually enabled the abuse, many clinics around the country failed to recognize and report abortions done on women and girls who were being trafficked for sex or being abused by family members and intimate partners. Unfortunately, it's of the essence to understand that Planned Parenthood is not the only healthcare organization with a tendency to disregard warning signs of abuse against women. Per a study published in the Annals of Health Law in 2014, 87.8% of human trafficking survivors who were female had visited a medical center at some point during their ordeal. 63% had visited their local hospital or ER, while only around 30% of them had visited their local Planned Parenthood clinic. Only around 20% of healthcare providers across the board either directly asked or were made aware of the fact that their patient had a pimp and was being exploited. Nevertheless, almost no reporting took place, and victims were often free to walk back into their old lives. This isn't just a problem unique to Planned Parenthood. It's something that characterizes the entire healthcare system at large when it comes to women. If you want to target the issue of human trafficking and rape and sexual assault, hold your biggest local medical center accountable. Hold women's health clinics in your area accountable. Hold urgent care down your street accountable. Because statistically speaking, victims are more likely to show up in places like the ones mentioned above, as opposed to the smaller Planned Parenthood clinics in your area. Obviously, Planned Parenthood has not been vindicated in this situation, and I in no way support them turning the other way in situations like Denise's. But at the end of the day, they aren't the only ones who are doing this. Other healthcare resources in your area, in my area, nationally, are also going through the same kinds of problems. Number three, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a eugenicist. Okay, it's incredibly typical for people to cherry-pick the things they want to hear about the other side. In fact, eugenicists in Sanders' time were actually opposed to the usage of birth control because they believed that more educated people would use it more often, thus defeating their aims as a movement. In fact, they were vocal in their lack of support for her. Most of you won't listen to me or others when we make these points. I could go on and vindicate Mrs. Sanger, but I won't. I'll use a different argument. What if I told you that I got dirt on Dr. John C. Wilk, the founder of the National Right to Life Committee? He believed that if a woman was a victim of legitimate rape, her body would not be conducive to conception, and hence no pregnancy would occur. This problematic belief led to the discrediting of many rape victim stories because they happened to get pregnant on top of the horrendous ordeal they had to undergo. They empowered the likes of Todd Akin and Mitt Romney to make outrageous public statements and openly support Dr. John C. Wilk's statement because he was a licensed MD. Numerous physicians and studies have debunked this belief, and a statement was released by the American Congress of Gynecologists undermining the scientific basis of such a statement. And okay, even if you continue to insist that this erroneous belief is true, it's still an incredibly insensitive thing to bring up, especially if your end agenda is to get the woman to, I don't know, keep her baby, carry it to term. You'd kind of want to have her on your side, wouldn't you? And as a woman, I assure you that this is not the way to go. So, buddy, we can play the blame game and the dirty game all we want, but the fact is that it won't get us anywhere. In many ways, both sides have been initially problematic, and the goal now is to focus on your respective organization's mission. Sit down and really ask yourself if your side of the story, one, is constitutional, and two, actually makes an effort and prioritizes helping women in need, as opposed to controlling their thought process with guilt and limiting their options when it comes to making such a serious decision. Number four, Planned Parenthood discusses alternatives to conventional heterosexual sex. Oh my. Moreover, they don't promote abstinence and instead glorify sexual deviancy. I hate to break it to you, but abstinence-only education doesn't work most of the time. While there is evidence that religious upbringing and continuous emphasis on abstinence can delay sexual debut, it will still eventually happen, and teens and young adults won't have the information they need to make it as safe as possible because it was never taught to them. In a cross-denominational study by the University of Notre Dame, around 3,000 adolescents were interviewed nationally in a 2009 statistical study. It determined that 54% of teenagers from religiously observant homes of varying degrees had participated in sexual intercourse by the age of 17. That's a pretty high failure rate for abstinence-only education, if you ask me. Moreover, it was found that church attendance and family religiosity, and even personal religiosity, did not impact the rates at which adolescents of all ages engaged in oral sex, as this sex act is not often discussed or denounced in religious circles and sermons. After all, a lot of the focus is on decrying the act of intercourse itself, and none of the foreplay that can accompany it, or substitute for it. While lower risk for certain STDs such as HIV, giving and receiving oral sex does come with an elevated chance of contracting herpes, chlamydia, gonorrhea, HPV, and syphilis, just to name a few. Because such discussions are off limits in abstinence education, teens are often unaware of the risks of the alternative sex acts they engage in that bypass sexual intercourse. When it comes to what you love to call sexual deviancy, it is time that we as a society normalize failure on this front. Not everyone is going to abstain, even when they're told to, and hence it is all the more essential to give young people the unabridged, straight story, and Planned Parenthood definitely provides that. So, what did we learn? At the end of the day, no one is saying that Planned Parenthood is perfect. A lot of the things that they have been a part of have not exactly been good for its reputation, or for the self-image of the pro-choice movement. But it does provide a wealth of information and resources that would otherwise be inaccessible to a good portion of our population. I urge you to support them in any way, whether it be donations or advocacy for its validity as an organization. Pregnancy manifests itself differently in different females, especially when it is done in the second or third trimester. Abortion is a heartbreaking and often difficult decision for women to make. Almost no one views it as contraception, and unwanted pregnancies are often terminated as quickly and as humanely as possible. Thank you.